If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We are glad that you have tuned in today. We want to thank you for making the Word of God a priority in your life. We want to say thank you to the folks that here at the radio station that not only make the facilities possible, but they make the broadcast possible. They know which buttons to push and which buttons to not push. and so we're grateful for their help here in bringing this program to you. Today, I want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And I was talking with Brother Anderson here recently, and you know, I told you he was still out there and getting after it, and he's got a few decades of experience, and he said, not too much right now. He's kind of stepped back. He said, I might drive by a job site every once in a while, but so this, JITS Concrete is a generational company. Their family has been attending Merit Assembly of God longer than I've been at Merit Assembly of God, and I've been there since dirt was new. So, but they've been there just a long, long time, and they have a great reputation. And he was telling me that there's, because of all of the supply chain issues and big corporations and things like that, that if you've got a project that is coming up, you need to get on that well in advance. You need to schedule that as quickly as possible so that the materials are there when you need them to be there, so that the concrete can be done so that everything else can get done. And so that was a very recent conversation that I had with him, and he was just describing some of the logistics and things like that. So if you have a construction project that's going on in the near future and it involves concrete, get on it now. Call the folks at JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. And whenever I think of them, I think of the three E's. They have decades of experience, they have expertise, and they have a great work ethic. And those are three valuable commodities that you want in all of your tradespeople. So whatever you need, give them a call. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Give them a call today so that you can get that scheduled. So we are going back to Job, the 41st chapter today, Job 41. We're starting to get to the end of this study on what united opposition to God, what limitations it provides. And right now in chapter 41, we are talking about the inability that Job has to control the largest or a very large sea creature, whether it's the largest or not. You know, it's known as Leviathan. At the bottom of my Bible, it just identifies a large sea creature whose exact identity is unknown. And so let me read a few verses here today, and then we will get into our discussion. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him or bargain over him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. And that M there is capital M. That means it belongs to God. So here, as we are looking at the limitations of man's ability, we're talking about things, you know, extending man's dominion to the creatures of the sea. And God says, are you able to communicate with this very large sea creature in such a way that he will speak softly to you? Okay, now, the first thing that I want to share with you today is this. God knows how to speak your language. God knows how to speak your language. And by that, I don't just mean, you know, the vowels and the consonants and the syllables and all of that sort of stuff, the dynamics of language. I am talking about he knows how to speak in the manner in which you are going to understand and respond to what he has to say. God speaks every language, and he's fluent in every language and every dialect of that language. You know, my wife is from a different part of the country than I am. So where I come from, we say y'all. Where she comes from, they say yous. Not yous guys, yous. And other parts of the region say yous guys. There are a number of different dialects. Now, one of the funniest examples of how our communication changes is a person that I knew that used to live in a very large metropolitan area in the Midwest moved to Texas. And they have lived there now for decades and decades. And I spoke to them on the phone, and when they spoke, there was no hint of their original dialect that they spoke in the metropolitan area at all. You couldn't tell unless it was a few of the phrases that they would use, but the way that their mouth formed the words was extremely representative of where they were in their life at that point in time. And at that point in time, they'd only been there for years. They hadn't been there for decades like they have now. And when I heard their new dialect, I just burst out laughing because it was so drastically different. I tell you that story for this reason. Whatever culture you are hanging around, the things that you hear are going to manifest in the words that come out of your mouth. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. If our heart gets changed, it impacts the way that we speak, the way that we communicate, the mindset that we have. So I was in a meeting recently, and without even discussing any details about what their viewing habits are or anything like that, I could identify where they get their information simply because of the words that were coming out of their mouth. And so for this person that I was talking about that moved to a much more rural area, their speech was completely different. But God still knows exactly how to communicate with them. So your life journey may have taken you a long way from what you began, but today I want to ask you to evaluate this question. How is my communication with God? A lot of people carry around bitterness and anger at God for some of the things that have happened in a fallen world. And I want to encourage you, don't do that. Don't do that. From a guy who tried it once and learned a valuable lesson, let me encourage you to speak softly to God. That's what it says. Will Leviathan, will he speak softly to you? Because God does have the ability to speak the language that he understands. And so he can calm him down. He can tell him to be quiet. There's millions and millions of dollars that have been spent to try and determine how dolphins communicate with one another, how particular species of whale communicate with one another, how do birds and other fish and all of those sorts of things, and not all of them communicate in the same way, but whatever it is, God says, I can speak to him in such a way that he will not rage against me. He will speak softly to me. And I pray that God will speak to you in the language that you will understand, so you will realize that God is watching out for you and that you can cry out to him in supplications and prayer and know that God hears you. Verse number 4 says, will he make a covenant with you? Will he make a covenant with you? We don't hear a lot about covenants in modern America anymore. There seems to be a mindset that we've moved away from those. The Bible is broken up into two portions. Historically, it's known as the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it could also be referred to as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. God's been making covenants with people for a long, long time. He also makes covenants with nature. At one point in time, he says in the Word that I can break my covenant with the sun, then you can start believing that I will break my covenant with you. But the covenant that God has established with the sun is so faithful and so reliable that meteorologists and people that study daylight and all of that sort of stuff, they have it down to the second. They have it down to precision. So I saw something here recently, and it was talking about one of the planets in our solar system, Neptune, I believe it was. And it said that if the position of Neptune was off by 0.1%, that would be 0.1%. If the shape of it, the gravitational pull, the positioning of it throughout the solar system, the size of the orbit that it has, the distance it is away from the sun, that if it was unstable to 0.1%, that it would destabilize the whole solar system. So factor that into the equation of everything just happened by chance, and see what that does to the odds. But when you look at the precision of planets that don't even have any life on them, that God has placed them so precisely that it makes life possible on Earth, what great care does he provide? And so you can rest assured that covenant relationship with God is not something to be dreaded. It's something to be embraced. Covenant is not like contract. Contracts are designed to protect people so that there is an out clause, so that their resources are protected should the relationship not continue. So you see that a lot of times in people who have a vast amounts of wealth, they say, well, you know what? We need a prenuptial agreement to protect me in case our relationship doesn't last, then you're not going to get all of my resources. That's not the way God does covenant. Covenant says this: everything that I have belongs to you. And everything that you have belongs to me. And so that's the exact opposite of what a contract is. So you and I, we have a covenant with God. We should have a covenant with God. At the Passover supper, the Last Supper, Jesus establishes a new covenant with his body and his blood, and that we get to do that as often as we will in remembrance of him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a continuing covenant. And it's the closest picture that we have to it in America is the marriage covenant. And even that has been so watered down and so damaged and so minimized that basically for a lot of people, it's not a covenant, it's a ceremony. And that's it. It's a ceremony, a celebration without any covenant to it. Because if one person, you know, steps out of line, bam, it's all over. So what God says to Job here is, can you create a covenant with this very, very large sea creature that is uncontrollable and untamable by human means? Can you create a covenant with him? Now, the interesting thing is that the Jewish people at times, they thought that they had created a covenant with death, that it was not going to impact them. They wanted to try and have a less committed covenant than what God was requiring, and one that was going to provide a lesser benefit than what God was offering. Let me tell you, Methuselah is the oldest aged person as far as calendar years, that is strictly human being, that is recorded. He lived over 900 years. Which would you rather have, 900 years of living on this planet with fallen humanity and morals that are suspect at this point in time, where laws come and go and cultures change? Would you rather spend a few hundred years on this planet, or would you rather spend a few hundred years in a perfectly holy, loving, compassionate environment where there is no sin, no temptation, no sickness, no disease, and no sorrow? See, they were trying to establish a covenant with death where they would not die. And God offers us a covenant with him where we will live forever. And so the prophet comes to him and said, y'all created this covenant with death, and you think it's going to spare you, and it's not. It's not going to spare you at all. Spiritual covenants are very powerful, and there have been people who, you know, like the Hebrews that I was just talking about, who've created covenants with ungodly spiritual entities, and those things have to be broken. That's not just something that you just wake up one day and change your mind and say, not so much, and let's go down and just, you know, file some paperwork. You need the power of God to come and deliver you, and Jesus to come and live into your heart. So he says, will you create a covenant with this very large sea creature where everything he has belongs to you, and everything that you have belongs to it? You live and operate in two different realms. You don't even speak the same language. Your composition, your biological composition is entirely different. You have nothing in common. Will he make a covenant with you? The answer is no, but he walks in covenant with God, or lives in covenant with God. Let's look at the next part of verse number 4. Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you take him as a servant forever? That's a an interesting mindset. Are you going to make him serve you? Now, I watched a video of a service dog, a police service dog, here a few weeks ago, and it was getting ready to die, and he had given his life to service, and he was walking down in front of all of the police officers, and each time he would come to a different police officer, he would just give a little doggy hug type lean into the leg, and the officers would reach down and pet him. They had a bond with that animal. They had served together. Military personnel have some of that same mindset with some of the canines that they serve with. And there's a bond that is more than just physical. There's an emotional bond that happens there because they have served together and have watched out for each other. There are beasts of burden is what they were called when I was growing up, and those would be like mules and donkeys and horses and oxen, where they would tow back before there were these monster tractors and things like that. Animals would be yoked together, and they would help pull the same load. And in fact, I do an illustrated sermon where we need to be yoked together. We're in marriage, we need to be equally yoked, not unequally yoked. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we need to be yoked together. But always there's going to be one that is stronger than the other. And when we are yoked together with Christ, we need to understand that he is the one that is providing the strength. He's the one that is providing the mentoring, if you will. He's the one that is teaching us how we are supposed to do life. And so I don't think that you're going to be able to tame every creature. There are some creatures that whenever I see them, the me taming them is one of the last things that would ever come into my mind. So here not too long ago, my office manager was working on something, and I said, "Did you go get the mail yet?" And she said she hadn't. It'd been a very busy day, and I said, I'll go out and get it. And I came back and I said, "You're welcome." And she said, what am I telling you thank you for? And I told her, I said, when I tell you this, you are going to say thank you, but you're welcome. And so she said, "What am I thanking you for?" And I said, "Well, you are thanking me that I am the one that went out and got the mail today, so that you didn't have a close encounter with that snake that was lying on top of the shrubbery right there by the mailbox." And I can honestly tell you, I didn't think about trying to tame that snake. I didn't think about trying to make a pet out of him. I didn't think about trying to make him a servant and seeing, you know, I said, "You know what? You look really good over there." It was It was not a venomous snake, just one of the native snakes around. I saw it. It wasn't very big or anything like that. But I was like, "Nope, I have no interest in making you a servant of mine." I watch videos of these snake wranglers and stuff like that and see the stuff that they do. And honestly, this is what I say. You are out of your mind. I wouldn't want to mess with those sorts of things. So if I wouldn't do that with the smallest of creatures, why would I ever think about doing that with something that is very large, who may have me on his menu, you know, that's looking and saying, what shall I have for dinner tonight? I think I will have Bob's sushi. that's not the thing. I'm not interested in that type of relationship with things that may be out to kill me. I want to give alligators plenty of space. I want to give anything that is a threat to my life, I want to give it plenty of space. Verse number 5 has just a couple of interesting things. It said, would you play with him as with a bird, or will you leash him with your maidens? I want to tell you, I've never thought of playing with a bird, and I have never thought about leashing a fish to make it a toy that my kids could play with. I want to close out today's broadcast along that lines and say this. Let's not make a game or trivialize. Let's not play around with things that have serious eternal consequences. Sin is not something you are supposed to play around with. It is something that you are supposed to avoid. It is supposed to be something that Jesus has dominion over in your life and has vanquished it, conquered it, disarmed it, and rendered it useless. The enemy would say, it's no big deal. Here's my answer to that. If God says it's a big deal, it's a big deal. And sin is not to be played with. Sin is to be repented of. It's meant to be forgiven. It is meant to be avoided. And we're supposed to embrace and run after the things of God. So if today you have been dealing with some things and you say, God, I don't even know if you understand me, I want to assure you that he does. He wants to walk in covenant with you. And he doesn't want us playing around in this life. This life is eternally serious. And I pray you'd be eternally serious with him. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.